and welcome to Throllers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
I'm too good, Alan. Episode 50. Where this has snuck up on us.
Yeah, it has. I actually kind of forgot about that. But yeah, congratulations. Big 5-0. We made it.
Yeah, half century. That's better than most Pommy batsmen.
For sure. For sure. How else has your week been going?
Yeah, it's been a chill one for me. Obviously didn't have a too big a weekend. Had to take Monday off for a bit of life admin. So I'm having a short week. Got a half day tomorrow. So yeah, chill week. Looking forward to getting into a couple of weeks off and living the perks of being a teacher. What about yourself? Pull up all right?
That's amazing. That sounds so good. No, I've not pulled up all right, but that's okay. I got a short week as well. We can push through that and then get some real good sleep on Friday, I think.
Yeah, beautiful.
kind of leads me into my first segment on the potty run sheet. It just says, who's not a bitch? And you were pretty confused about it. And to be honest, so am I. So, as we know, I was at the SA Open on the weekend and staying with some good mates of ours, the Hobart crew and the Adelaide boys.
Yep.
And yeah, we had a pretty reasonably large night on the Friday. And I don't know, I woke up Saturday morning and Dad's like, you adding this person onto the who's not a bitch list? And I was like, what? And apparently I had, yeah, started like a list of who's not a bitch. So I guess I was trying to imply that certain people are bitches. But yeah, I don't remember a lot of that. I don't remember a lot of the Friday night, the 1 a.m. glow golf. Yeah. But anyway, who's not a bitch, Chris? You got any ideas?
Yeah, I'm curious to know who's on your list. Well, obviously, I know immediately Gareth is not. G-Train goes hard all day, every day. So surely he's on your who's not a bitch list.
He'd have to be. Like, there is no list. This is what I'm saying. Like, Dad was just like, check your run sheet. You've put it on it. I was like, what? And I opened the notes app, and the first thing on there is who's not a bitch.
Good. So this is Junk Alan messaging himself about a podcast, and Sober Alan not really knowing what to say.
100%.
Love it.
So yeah, we might move on from that. So you weren't at the SA Open, yeah?
No, I was just gonna say, like, I mean, you held strong all week, and I hear you were nice and supportive at the awards presentation as well. So you must be on that list as well. You're not a bitch.
Yeah, I am not a bitch. Even though I was very dead by Sunday and just wanted to go to bed. I was shamed into going to watch my old man pick up his 100th trophy.
For the year.
For the year. Because it was really important I was there. So, yeah, I think I'm on the not a bitch list, but I think I might chuck him on the bitch list. Making his son front up when he could just be taking a nap. Yeah, come on. Nice. Come on, Jeff. Might get a knot light at the end of this. like, I don't know what this was, but something I do know happened is that you went out to Invalid Gold.
I did.
And had another crack. We spoke about it the first time you went out, getting prepared for the Vic Open.
Yep.
Shot a +2. We were pretty happy with that. How'd you go this time?
Yes. I pulled in an even. I'm just opening up you just now. Very happy. Very happy with an even around Invalid Gold. I know there's some people out there, and I might mention them later in the podcast, that are going much harder than that on Invalid Gold, according to UDIS leaderboards at the moment. But that's good for them. I'm just a pleb. But I managed an even. But going into hole 15, I was a juicy +3. As was Mark Hardy. Mark Hardy and I were +3 through 14 holes, and then I just went gobble gobble and went birdie 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 15 16 17.
That's elite.
I think so. I'm pretty happy with it.
That's elite. Yeah. No, it's very good. I have been plus 3 through 15 multiple times and ended on like 11.
Yep.
So, yeah, to go plus 3 through 14 and then go 15. 15's tough. Round that dam.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, 16's an instant bogey for me for whatever reason. And 17, geez, who knows? So, those are good gets. And then parring on the 18th too, like, to round it out. That's a hell of a way to finish.
Yeah. So, on 15, I just... I think you got to choose left or right. And because I was plus 3 and I just bogeyed 14, completely dry. Didn't even go OB.
Yeah.
And bogeyed 14. Oh, wow. And bogeyed 14. So... I'm not going to say I was happy after hole 14. And I was like, stuff this. I said it on the tee. I'm like, I'm going aggressive. And I just pumped it all the way up and past the dodgy wooden bridge. And
yeah, wow.
What that meant was I just had basically, like, I was then basically throwing backwards. Like, I'd kind of gone long in a weird way on a U-shaped hole. And then I just kind of turned around and just threw my midi just straight at the basket. I had nothing in my way and just threw my midi straight at the basket, landed at about 3 meters and knocked in the birdie. 16 was a big putt. 16 was a flex sidearm, but just got caught up on some roots and stuff. I didn't get quite the flare skip I would have liked to kind of push into circle one, but made like a juicy like 16, 17 meter putt. And then 17, I put it to like 5 meters. Like I missed Gandalf and skipped right up into the circle and yeah, knocked in my third birdie for sick. A row. Yeah.
That's sick. That's really good. How did Hardy fare in the same stretch?
Well, he went plus 2. So he, parred 15, he bogeyed 16 as did everyone else on the card. He then, parred 17 and bogeyed 18. But that's standard. That's normally what I would do on that.
Pretty standard.
Yeah, that's what I would do on that stretch too. Normally.
Yeah, pretty standard. Yeah, I'm normally bogue, double bogue is like a pretty genuine finish for me.
Yeah.
So, not bad.
Yeah. No.
And so how's it?
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, yeah, Hardy's round was good as well. Like plus 3 through 14. Obviously, then the bogey to finish. But yeah, no, plus 5 is nothing to screw your nose up at.
Two better than my best ever trek around Nivoli.
There you go.
So plus 7's my PB. So I'm keen to get out there. That's not going to do much for me, the Vic Open.
Yep.
How is it playing? Is it playing easier than before, do you think?
Yeah, so last potty I...
A little more scramble.
Yeah, last potty I kind of alluded to the fact that they've cleaned it up loads and I definitely think it's playing easier. Look, maybe they were rose-tinted glasses. Seeing it again, like in back-to-back weeks, it's definitely been cleared up loads. I just don't know how much easier it's playing. Because hole 10's tough. And hole 10 was like a gettable hole with lots of options. It's now not very many options and very precise. Okay. With the way the dam wall plays and everything, anyway, I think it's definitely playing easier overall. Comparing it to 12 months ago, I'd say it's playing a shot and a half easier.
Okay, so that is still pretty significant.
Yeah, I think so. I just think every hole you can kind of just shave a little bit. There's just a done enough clearing that there's just a few more options and it doesn't probably equate to a shot on any hole.
Yeah, okay.
But a cumulative through 18 holes.
Yeah.
It probably...
That wear you down is sort of slightly less wear down than in one hole.
Exactly.
You're going to get a better shot than you would have and in the next round maybe it's two or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And is it more like... I'm imagining they haven't chopped trees and stuff down. Is it just clearing... You know, dead stuff and twigs and all that sort of jazz? Or they have taken some trees here?
Nah, lots of acacia. Definitely lots of acacia.
Yeah, okay. That's good news.
And, yeah, so the acacia missing is, like, really noticeable on hole 15. Like, you're around the dam hole. You know when you come around to that corner, you'd often just be then throwing a dummy little Tommy over some acacia, depending on where you land. When you get to that final, a lot of that's gone.
Okay, and so you did say you took that straight shot over it. I thought you might have just landed in that one sweet spot, but so now the sweet spot's pretty big.
Yeah. So there's a few options you get up to the gutter, and things like that. I reckon I'd be curious to know if they've maybe lobbed down some branches. Obviously, we have had that like wild weather as well this year, so I'm wondering if wild weather is like smacked a few branches down, and then they've just cleared it all out of the way. I can't wait for it. Like I said, it's looking gorgeous. It really is.
Yeah, sick. Keen. Hopefully I'll get out there this weekend.
Yeah, bring on Vic Open.
Yeah, for sure. Something else happened this week. Aiden's done it again.
Yes.
Which is just, it's crazy. He's put up another neg 18 at the Choose Dubs with... who was he with this time? I can't even remember. It's like it doesn't matter, right?
Was it Brett? I don't even remember who it was.
Yeah, I think it might have been Brett Zeeble. But yeah, I don't know. The common factor seems to always be Aiden. Yeah. So it's pretty ridiculous. And I think the Tuesday guys are getting pretty over it. They're starting to talk about a +3 handicap. I don't know. Maybe they just need to make him sit out certain holes. Not sure. I don't know how you make it so he doesn't just win every week. They should just be better, I guess, but yeah.
He's got it dialed. He's got nighttime golf dialed. He's a 1,000 rated nighttime golfer.
Yeah, probably.
Like, you can't be shooting minus 18s. What is that? Like, I haven't even done that at Stony.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. No, it's pretty messed up, but he's done it multiple times, so... Crazy. Well done there, Aiden.
You know what? I just dawned on me. Remember during COVID, one of our peak games? It was a hot take at the moment, but the perfect round?
Yeah, for sure. But that was... that was doubles.
Yeah, that was doubles. Yeah, exactly. That was doubles. He's now done it twice.
Yeah, it's a fun game for anyone who's keen. If you're about to leave a course and you think, oh, I've maybe got like a few holes in me, but you're probably not thinking you got a hole, whatever. Grab a mate and play to achieve the perfect game.
Yep.
So you're trying to get neg 18. So the way it works is you have a doubles partner, you both play off hole one. If you don't birdie or better, your round is done.
Yep.
So you always have to be under at least the amount of holes you played. So one down through one, five down through five, and an eagle... Saves you a lot. So let's say you get, So let's say you're playing a bald hill and you've got an easy one. You've thrown a mint shot on two. Well, if you get that eagle on three, then you've got a one shot buffer. So let's say you stuff up hole eight or something, then that's all good because you're still eight down through eight.
Yeah.
And just see how far you can get. It's pretty depressing how far you can't get.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're not getting a hole eight. But Aiden is.
Yeah, but Aiden is. I think we played it with some rules too. So like you couldn't take someone's drive three times in a row.
Yep.
I think was the only rule we really had. So you had to be a little selective with it. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And yeah, you might end up just playing a couple holes. The courses work out pretty good too because hole two at Bald Hill is tough. So you can lose pretty early. But then if you don't, you got a pretty nice run. With two early eagle chances. And then what else? Ruffy was the same, but we didn't play it on the new Ruffy layout.
No, we didn't.
But anyway, it's a fun game. So, see if you can chase down the perfect score.
Maybe.
And rub it in Aiden's face.
Maybe that's what they need to introduce at Dubs. Like, all the Dubs out there, if Aiden rocks up, maybe it is that modified best shot rule where it's maximum two drives in a row, and then your card mate has to take the third to unlock it.
It's a good idea.
Maybe that's what they need to introduce.
I like it. We're starting trends here.
Here we go. I hope they're listening. We're crazy that we have to introduce rules to stop Aiden from taking all our cash.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see Daz in the group chat? Daz was like, maybe. Is Aiden coming? And then he's like, yeah, of course, Sam. He's like, cool. Send me your bank details. I just transfer you the money now.
It'd be easier. That's good. I missed that. Good, 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 bye, guys. All right, so as I mentioned, I was in Bel Air, South Australia, over the weekend for the RPM Discs South Australian Open. I really like going over. The SA crew always put on a great tournament, and I got a few really good mates there, so it's always good fun for me. Played at a few different courses over the last few years, but the Bel Air course is pretty recent for them. They've got tee pads in the ground, baskets. They've got a setup like Ballarat where they've got 27 baskets. No, that's not right. Yeah, 20. I'm confused. Yeah, I think it's like Ballarat.
Yeah, 9 advanced
baskets. I think they got eight. Yeah, I think they got 27 baskets and 18 tee pads. That's what Ballarat's got, yeah? Yeah. So they got the same setup as that. And they've set it up really well, too, where there's like a 6-hole amateur loop you can sort of do, and it comes back to the start. And then their 9 kind of comes right back to where 18 is, so you can sort of just play 10. And it's a good setup. And then they modified a few of the holes for the tournament. So they've extended a few of the opening holes, which is cool. And put some extra OB and things like that in. But really good course. I really enjoyed it. It gives me strong Inverleigh White vibes, but with loads more elevation, just lots of up and down hills.
Yeah, okay.
And played really cool, but a lot of late gaps is the best way to describe it. So late gaps and guarded greens. So even the short ones were sort of more technical or had a guarded green, and then the more wide open ones, forced you. If it was a par 3, there was like a late gap you'd have to go through. And then if it was wide open sort of par 4, then you'd have a bit of a guarded green. So you could throw it pretty well, and then just throw it into and hit a tree if you didn't get your upshot right.
Nice.
So, I thought it was a lot of fun, but like you just see yourself scoring on a lot of the holes. And, because it seems so scrambleable, there was really only one hole on the course. There was an island hole where I was like, it'd be okay if I took a bogey.
Yeah.
But all the others, I was like, I had to do something pretty wrong to get a bogey, but I found many of them. So, it was a kind of frustrating weekend, for me, cause I felt like I should have played a lot better, but it didn't get torn up anywhere near as much as I thought it might. I thought, neg 9 and 10 would be sort of pretty good going for the top few in MPO. Yep. And, Austin ended up doing a couple of those, or an 8 and a 10.
Yeah.
But other than that, not too much. Like, they didn't really get a hold of it. The final round, a few more of the other boys put in 6s and 7s and stuff. But, I definitely thought it was going to get scored more heavily.
Yeah. Well, we've just got used to Australians playing 1,000 rated golf, and there was a lot less of it.
Yeah, I think with the Inverleigh White sort of vibes too, it kind of opens the pack up a little bit because you don't get punished as much for bad shots. So with late gaps and stuff, if you throw and not quite good shot, you're still pretty close to the basket. You should be able to lay up for your par. So I think that did stop a little bit of scoring separation. But still, the top dudes absolutely smoked the rest of the field.
Yeah.
I think that might have played into ratings a little bit. It's a bit more of an intermediate player's course, so that's why I'm disappointed I did not play better.
Sure.
Because I'm pretty intermediate. But, the MPO was still, it was sort of interesting. Austin D'Alessandro absolutely ran away with it after the round 2. So, he was in equal first place in round 1 with the next 6, but then, neg 8 in round 2, and before you know it, he's got a 6-stroke lead.
Yeah.
So, and then just did not let up at all in round 3. So, very easy for him. Just absolutely getting it done. But big tourney win over a strong field.
Yeah, huge field.
Timmy B in second place, which is a really good tournament for him. Ahead of Bainey, who was a late charge. And Paddy Robinson, both in equal third. But Austin neck 24 and Tim Bohan second in neck 14. Bainey and Paddy in 13. Gareth Morgan and Vil right there with 12 and 11. Chopping it up with those big boys. But yeah, everyone just got outclassed by Aussie D.
Yeah, awesome work. Just having a little look. Obviously, he's like absolutely smoked the pack. But Aussie D and Timmy Bohan over the course of the weekend, equal bogey counts. Over the course of three rounds, the pair of those guys have got only two bogeys.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up.
Aussie obviously found a few more birdies than Tim, but just to go only two bogeys for the weekend's pretty good going by the looks of things.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. I introduced Timmy B into your gold round, brown round setup, and he seemed to enjoy that. And yeah, when I was doing that, I was like, fuck, you got two bogeys this weekend, you prick. Like I said, it should have been. That's in my head. I was only going to have two bogeys this weekend instead of like 1,000. But he just did what he needed to do. It was definitely a course where you could avoid the bogeys. But we just didn't do a good enough job. But Timmy did. So that's how you end up in second place.
Nice work. Nice work.
And then MP40 was a bit more spicy than that. They had some stuff going on. Came down to the final hole, but local man, Youngblood Roche was actually able to lay up what seemed like a 6 meter putt for the win. He was sort of standing at it, pump faking, and then just sort of turned to Ash Gabe, who was in second, and was like, I can lay this up, can't I? And he's just like, yeah. So I think he was confused for a sec, but laid it up. And then in third place was Olatunji. I'm not even going to try his last name. But I got to chill with him. He's a cool bloke.
There you go.
I think Dazza played around with him at Nationals.
Yep.
But yeah, I'd never met him before. But he was, mates with a couple of boys we're staying with. And yeah, we chill with him. Tunji is a nice guy. Him and I had a lot of good chats. So I was stoked to see him start playing well.
Beautiful. Let's get to your division. How'd that go down? You made some big calls about the bridesmaid going into the weekend. How did it shake out?
Oh yeah, yeah. So I called Timmy Davis, Bruce Lee, and Jono being the top three, and just hopefully I could be the fourth. Well, the way it shook out was we ended up having cards of three, so I never made that lead card. But I was definitely right about the top three. And, I had Timmy D as my clear favorite, and he was smoking it. He was five down after round one. And I was like, yep, here we go. But a pretty average round two with an evil for him even. And then a plus one round three. But that came very, very late. He went double bogey finish.
Wowee.
Yeah. And as someone who double bogeyed hole 18, that is not something that should be happening. Hole 18 was a downhill par 5. And it wasn't particularly, it is long, but because of the downhill, it doesn't play particularly long. With OB on the left, but you're actually teeing off from OB, and then there's some trees right in front of you that create specific pockets. So there is a very small straight gap that Jono threw every single time and laced every single time. Most people would throw a forehand hyzer, sort of like a high left gap, or a big backhand turnover. And then there was a low hyzer gap. So under a tree, and a lot of people, including myself, played that. It played really well because you're throwing down, but because of how steep it was, it sort of never really hit the ground early. It would just keep going. But regardless, even if you hit that tree that was 15 meters off the tee and stayed inbounds, then you could definitely still birdie from there.
Okay.
Because it doesn't play that far. That's what Cam did on the last hole. He hit that tree And then, yeah, through a massive drive and then a good up and, got the birdie pretty easy. So, at hole 17, yeah, I don't know what he did there. That's a dangerous green, but not a long hole. So, I'm assuming it's some putting. But, yeah, had it all stitched up and then goes double bogey, final two holes. And Bruce ends up going birdie. So, he gets six strokes back in those two holes to force a playoff. And Jono, this is heartbreak for sure. So, Jono doesn't look at the scores. And stepping up to the hole 18, he was pretty sure he was one back of Tim Davis. And then once he started seeing him shoot off into the distance, Jono had like a, what would have been a, like a still a full shot, but maybe with like a fairway driver.
Yep.
To get to his attacking position, like to get it to the green. But instead I saw him throwing a standstill to about 20, 25 meters.
Yeah.
And then so he's obviously playing for the par for whatever reason. And then throws a layup up, but stuffs it, puts it like eight. Drills the putt, but it spits out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so in his head, he was one back, and he knew Timmy was about to take a double bogey. So par gets it done. So he was playing for par. And then when the putt spit out, he was shattered, but at least he's in the playoff.
Oh, no.
And then he does the scores and realizes he was two back.
Jesus.
Yeah, and then so he, as the TD, had to go officiate the playoff.
Oh, no.
I thought it went to about five holes, but I think they skipped a couple because some of the OB had been taken out. So it was, yeah, two or three hole playoff. And as predicted, Tom Lee is incapable of winning.
Oh,
Tim
Bruce.
Davis gets it done. Back-to-back SA Opens with playoff losses.
Ouch.
Yeah. But Timmy should have smoked it anyway, so it's bad that he let him
in. Yeah, six shots in two holes is wild. That was borderline big choke, big choke.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, there was a clear separation between the top three, who went neg four, neg four, neg three. The middle three, myself, Ed, Hesline, and Camille, who all ended up even on plus three. But yeah, all ended up in equal fourth. And then a big jump to Jay Ross, Nath Borg, and Matt Green, plus 10, plus 16, plus 23. So, but now was a fun weekend. I played all three rounds with Cam and played two of them with Ed. And yeah, they're great. But yeah, I definitely saw myself shooting like the first couple. I was, even to under was what I was thinking. And then the third round, I was feeling great. And I was like, nah, I'll definitely shoot like neg four today. And I did not. So it just, could have been much better. Above average event for me, so I'll take it. But yeah, could have been a good one. Should have been a good one. Wasn't.
Still on the road to 950, Alan. Still on the road to 950.
Yeah, sure.
All right,
windy road.
MA4 looked tight. MA40 looked tight as well.
Yeah. Not if you look at round one.
Yeah.
John Schlobaum
He's got a bit of a reputation, old John Schlobaum. He's round one schlinger.
Yeah, but we will let him know about how his round twos always let the boys back in.
Yep.
So but he did enough. He did enough to once again hold it off over Peter Gabe and Dan Hartley, who's just moved into the MA 40. Division and not looking back.
No, making himself at home.
Mm-hmm.
Nice work.
Now, here's where all the Melburnians were in MA50.
Yeah, thank you.
What do you see there?
Well, I'm seeing a surprise based on our outlandish comments last week.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we gave the locals no chance, and then one of them snatches it up. Pretty comfortably in the end. Four-stroke victory for James Arnold. So, Henry Arnold's old man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was a fair tight battle between Jeff, Doug, and Mike. And a bit of back and forth. But with a super hot plus three final round for Jeff, he gets it done by a couple strokes over Doug and then a couple more that over Mike.
Boom, boom. That's big. Taking down to a couple of the big guys.
Yeah, 100%. Eamon Dawson there in seventh. So I ran into him. I was on the ninth tee and he was on the 18th. And they're right next to each other on the final round. And he goes to me, what's the play here? And I said, I take that low little hyzer pocket. And he goes, yep, sweet. And goes to do it, hits a tree that you got to go under. So never gets in bounds and has to retake.
Nice.
And yeah, I was like, oh boy. So then he throws like this monster flex forehand straight through the gap. Huge, crushes. And we're just, we're all up and about giving him high fives like, man, should have done that. Like, what did you do the last two rounds? He's like, that? And I'm like, oh, what are you asking me for advice then? So, yeah, no good. When you got a sick play, Eamon, just do that. Don't worry about
that. Yeah.
And then in the MA2... we predicted a tight battle between Henry Arnold and our very own Penn Lu. And right from the get-go, right away in round one, we were disappointed.
Yep.
Penn, mate, what are you doing?
Not his best weekend. I mean, finally came to play final round, but it's a little late.
it's definitely a little late. good final round, neg one for Penn. Only a couple of those boys made it under the card, so well done to him. But yeah, the damage was done way too early. And nice little battle between Henry Arnold, Bradley Richies, and Andrew Young-Jackaway. Playing some very good golf there, Andrew Young-Jackaway. But yeah, Henry gets it done with an even overall.
Well done. Yeah, another good victory. Chalk it up. Penn, presumably one of his first interstate trips for disc golf, left a few out there. I'm sure he'll be looking to bounce back at Vic Open.
Yeah, for sure. And Don Carter, sneaky fourth place with a plus five. It was a good event. He's been playing well. And he a plus three final rounds, so he was up and about a bit.
And all three rounds are well and truly above that rating that we've highlighted. It's not really his rating. Yeah. 9:20 event, just about.
He might be playing some consistent golf now, Chris. That could be interesting. Yeah. FA2 is a landslide. Anita Webber just destroying the local girls. And, Jessica Holman is a local girl. Massive victory over Kate and Jess, so... huge ups there to Anita, just destroying them. Yeah,
great work. And finished strong as well with her best round for the final round. 13-stroke victory. Again, just like we said for Henry, chalk it up.
Chalk it up. not too many familiar names at the top of MA3.
No.
Matt Jennings getting it done. But Duncan McIntosh in fourth. He was in it for most of it, but six strokes difference on the final round sort of took away any chance there. And then your boy Max Tats in equal fifth.
Yeah.
Oh, this reminds me. I'm on the plane going to Adelaide, and it seems like everything's done. We're about to take off, and then the announcement comes over and it's just like, oh, if anyone here is like Marcus Vellotta or Max Tats, like, we need you to, like, I don't know, it was weird. It was like they were asking,
they were on the plane,
they were saying that they weren't there yet. Yeah, they're like, when they're not here yet, we're gonna wait for them. But like, are you on there? Oh, or something. Or maybe they just want to name and shame them. But yeah, my ears picked up pretty quickly. I was like,
you know these guys.
But fortunately they made it. So what time was our flight? It was like a 7:40 flight or something. It was 8 o'clock flight. And Marcus said they got to the airport at 7:40. The door. So it's a miracle they made it.
Seasoned travelers.
Yeah, Jesus exactly.
Christ, boys. That's not how I do airports. That just makes me anxious thinking about it.
Yeah, me too. MA4, bunch of locals. So Daniel Marks getting it done over his brother, Nicholas Marks. Spend a bit of time with Dan on the weekend, and nice guy. He's in our tipping call now.
Beautiful.
More locals in the FA4 as well, getting it done by Taylor Clark. And Tobias Weber in the MJ15, all on his own. Plus 33 event, which is end up being 48 points above his rating for the event. So not a bad showing for the Webbers.
Yeah, yeah. If you're by yourself, there's not much you can do. But to do all three ratings above your round, that's a good showing. So well done, Tobias.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I thought I was going to do. But then round three, snuck in. But yeah, really well-run tournament. Like I said, the SA guys always do it really well. This is Jono's last one. He's going to run for a minute. He's hoping that someone will take over, which I'm sure they will. They've got a good crew. And it was a cool joint. So they had this holiday park right there, like right next to the course. So yeah, it took literally like 5 minutes to walk from your bed to hole one.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, real good setup there. So if they have any other big tournaments there, I highly suggest people get out to it. And I wouldn't be surprised if when Nationals rolls around to South Australia in a couple of years' time, that it ends up there.
Okay.
Because with Gambia having eruption, you know, would they give up eruption for Nationals? Not sure. But I could definitely see a big, big event being played at that course. Big park, lots of scope. Yeah.
Beautiful.
We'll see.
Nice.
We also had the US WDGC on the weekend. Did you check any of it out?
Bits and bobs. I can't get around watching some of their stuff, if I'm being brutally honest. But I kept abreast of it. Obviously kept abreast of the live scores, and a couple of mornings checked in on a bit of the coverage. Course looked fun. What about yourself?
Yeah, I only saw little bits over the weekend as well. Yeah, just what I could when I could. But yeah, it does look like a nice tight wooded course. And then they set up some fun holes at the end. Looked pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would have been good to play. But yeah. Missy Gannon, the new WDGC champion.
Correct.
So, big major under her belt.
Yeah, first major under her belt, I'm led to believe.
Yeah, I think so. I think she won a few other big tourneys, but I think this might be the first major. So
yeah.
Well done to her, and gets it done over Evelina and Valerie Monahano with a big final round, snuck just past Owen Scoggins. And all the way down in sixth, which may as well be 106th, is Kristen Tatar.
Who'd you tip?
I tipped Owen because she's been on fire lately.
Yep.
So not a bad tip for me. Not mad at that, I guess. Fourth is, not bad when one of the top four women in the world.
Yep.
So anything outside of fourth, I'd start getting a little mad, but we've got the fourth. How about you?
I tipped Kristen.
Oh no. Yep. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Sixth is not what you want.
No. I've already tipped Calvin. You know how we're talking about some people saving their good tips and shit? I've already tipped Calvin, and now I've tipped Kristen, and neither resulted in a victory. I am struggling. Yikes. Neither resulted in a podium.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Like, good luck to anyone else in our tipping comp who goes on to tip Kristen and doesn't get podium. And good luck to anyone.
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, exactly. And good luck tipping anyone go on to tip Calvin and he doesn't at least get top 25. He got like 40 he got 40 something when I tipped him.
Brutal.
Yeah. Spewing. But I did catch a bit of the final round. They were saying her name really nice on coverage, but Haide Lane, I'm pretty sure was on Lee Card. Not a awesome final round with her. It was it was 8 shots worse than what she did round three, but made a good putt on the final hole just to pip Kristen. So that was pretty cool to see. That's a pressure putt. And again, we've said this before. I'm certain that'll be the first time Haide has ever beat Kristen in an event. I would also argue that it's probably the first time Haide's been within 10 strokes of Kristen, let alone beat her. So I'm just going to click through to see her results for 2024. She got 15th at Waco and she got 9th at the Austin. When she got 15th plus 9, she was a cool 29 strokes behind Kristen at Waco. And now she's just pipped her. So well done.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And what did 9th equate to? Kristen obviously got 2nd with a minus 15. But at the same time, she was only 12. She was only 12 back of her at Austin. Oh,
that's nothing. That's
yeah.
Nice. Yeah, no, the commentators didn't have pretty big ups on her and were pretty confident we'd be seeing more of her on feature card in the future. So
she's been around for a hot minute. PDJ 66.
Yeah, okay.
PDJ 66,000. Been playing professionally since 2014.
Got me beat.
Yeah, so but yeah, that's cool. Just cool that she's up and out. Good stuff.
Nice. All right, well, we're all getting towards the end here, but I am keen to talk a little bit of the skins that the Stony League is putting up. So what happened there? Stoya had some money left over from, like, just from entry fees?
Yeah, or? Just taking our $2, like, our $2 every week.
Yeah, okay.
And
instead of just telling no one, he told everyone and he's given it back.
Yep.
Yeah, I might have just quietly told no one, but hey, good, he's a better man than me. And what better way to do it than a skins event? So I think they're putting in a little entry fee as well to pump up the amount.
I can think of a couple of better ways.
Oh, but really?
I'll save that for the not light.
Oh, okay. There you go. Well, I was keen on the skins.
Yep.
I voted for Good Friday, and I was pretty sure I registered. Sorry, I wasn't pretty sure. Dad asked me, did you register? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm playing.
Sick.
It's worked out well because the missus's friend got it coming to town. I haven't mentioned it. I didn't register. I thought I registered. I didn't register.
Yeah.
I kept looking at the registration sheet and I was like, oh, okay, I'll probably end up in a group with this person, this person, this person. Yeah. And then when he published the groups and my name wasn't on it, I was like, oh, mistake. And then I looked back at the registration list, I wasn't on it. But it worked out all right. We've got a friends in town, so we're catching up Friday anyway. So, silly. But yeah, some good groups. It's Sam Stoyer versus Chris Scott, Peter Chu, and Tim Ware. So I do like that. Who do you think takes the most skins in that group?
Jeez, that is tough. Tim.
That is
a tough one. I'm just throwing a name out there.
Chris Scott's been playing by far the best disc golf out of that group.
Yeah.
But I feel with Stoney, they're just going to end up in
pushes.
So a lot of pushes. Like someone's going to get it. And then I think Stoyer's going to throw like some crazy monster Tommy on like hole 11 and clean up like 11 skins.
Yep.
So that's my prediction.
Yep. I hear it.
Group 2's got Sebastian Gutierrez, Chris Koo, Jan, someone else, and Aaron Picanti Beans. Jeff's pulled out. But that's another good one. Not sure about that. I think Aaron will take it down.
Yeah. He would want to.
Yeah. And then we've got Ash Wiedner, Alex Evans, David Wood, and David Gannon.
Ooh.
Reminder that David Gannon lives at the course now.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
But
Probably it depends which Ash Widener shows
or,
up.
Or which David Wood. That's an MA4 battle for the yeah, ages. True. Like, just depends which one, yeah, which one of those players brings their best version of themselves. Someone could take home 18 skins that day. But we do know...
They could.
We do know that Ash loves a bit of cash on the line disc golf. He's smoked a few people out at Vic Park at Ballarat when there's cash on the line. I reckon he might have an extra gear weeding up when there's a bit of cash in front of him.
True. Sounds good. We'll go with that. Yeah. And the final group is, I've never heard of this person. There's no way they played the Stony League, but Carlton Clerk?
Yes. Yeah, I've played with Carlton a few times. Yep.
Okay. All right, never mind. He's probably played more rounds than I did. Yep. Janet Ford Adams, Michael Smith, and Jason Widener.
Yep.
Same deal, I think. Pick your poison on that one.
Yep. That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know, Carlton. Yeah, but... so it should be good fun. I think the groups have worked out pretty well. So I'm intrigued to see how all that shakes out.
It'll be cool to see how they've put into metrics and whether or not we can watch follow along live or whether or not it all gets lost because we don't know who's on what card. Mm, that's the challenge. True. Someone really needs to come to the party with this. Someone needs to come to the party with... bloody match play scoring for disc golf and also skin scoring for disc golf.
Definitely. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Make it, we'll get UDisc onto it.
Yeah.
I just paid $1 million for a subscription, so they owe me.
They've got plenty of spare time now. Now that they're not doing USBC. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so we wrap this up with Spotlight Not Live.
Yes, we definitely should.
Nice. You've got anything for me or you want me to go?
No, I'll go with my spotlight first. My spotlight is colleagues that play disc golf. Got tomorrow, obviously, last day of term. And I think there's four of us. Four of us are going to rock up. Obviously, got a course installed 100 meters from my school. four of us are going to rock up and play a cheeky at least 9 holes, maybe 18 before work tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to it. Sick. So my spotlight goes to colleagues who play disc golf.
That's cool. Yeah. My spotlight has to go to Paddy Robinson. So there was 2 eagles at the SA Open. One of them was by Aussie D. It was a hole 18, the one that I said that even if you hit early, you should get the birdie. Yep. So both times punched out a good, really good drive. And then both first 2 rounds, second shot goes OB.
Yep.
He actually cans the 15-meter OB birdie putt. And then just sad walks to the basket and gets it out because he was depressed about his OB birdie. Second round, it went a little bit shorter, so he couldn't make that. But third round, he minced his drive. It went so far down. That he had a relatively simple approach shot. Put it actually a little sketch because the basket's on a old green. But yeah, if you sort of going off the edge, he sort of started rolling towards OB long, but hit a really big putt and got that. That was cool, but I don't really care because you can see that doing. I could see me doing it. I put one into circle 2. Paddy Robinson on the other par 5. It's this big, wide open par 5 with a sort of a dog leg through the trees, through a gap in the trees, or you can kind of cut through the trees. Like the old man just didn't dog leg. He went beeline at the basket and took the gap through the woods. I don't even fully understand what Paddy did. It's been described to me. I do not understand it. He sort of turned one over. And got sort of towards these sets of trees that you're trying to sort of stay parallel with so you can throw around or over. And I don't know, just throughout some apparent hectic, massive turnover over all these trees. I don't know. I can't explain it to you because I can't comprehend
it. Sure.
Anyway, it's massive. Puts it to 11 meters and cans the putt. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's definitely a hole that, an MA1 and above should be birdie, or at least looking at birdie. But the eagle, I just don't understand how you get there in 2. I really don't understand how you get there in 2. It's crazy. For me, it's like two straight crushes, and then you got a good approach. So I don't know. But yeah, well done, Paddy, because that's messed up.
Yeah, sick spotlight. I've seen footage of the putt, which obviously someone pulled out the camera for the putt just because he's putting from 11 meters on a crazy hole. So that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, not light. Look, I touched on it a second ago. You're right. We all paid to join this Stony League. And
let's go get him.
This promise of, prizes to be distributed accordingly. And there's always a mum and an iron about how those prizes might get distributed. But as we've touched on this podcast now a couple of times, I was the player of the summer for Melbourne. And I obviously dominated Stony League. And I dominated the Summer Cup Revival. And to my name, after putting all my hard-earned into these events and performing and preparing and performing, I have a $60 club voucher to my name, thanks to the Melbourne Disc Golf Club. And from Stony Leagues, I'm going home with donuts. Doesn't matter that I'm bringing out 980 rated golf week in, week out, and helping paint lines and just being a good bloke all around. I can't play the skins. I don't know. I could never sign up. I couldn't sign up because Sam said, don't fucking sign up and then pull out last minute because that'll stuff around the groups. So that just put me on the back foot straight away because, like, I never know what I'm going to do. So I'm like, well, I guess I can't sign up because I'm definitely no guarantee to not fucking pull out. So here I am. I don't even know what I'm doing Friday, but I know I'm not signed up and I'm not on one of those groups. And I think what he could have done, he could have just given all that money to me, or he could have bought me a nice prize or something. So Sam's story gets my not light.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent not light. I love that. Good use of the not light. Big fan of that. mine has the... I've already talked about it, but I just really need to double down. MA1 at the SA Open. Big tournament. Small division, but big tournament. These are three stalwarts of the Adelaide Club. And each one of them deserves a not light for separate reasons. So Tim Davis, obviously, for going bogey-bogey finish, double-bogey finish, is disgusting. Like, huge not light. That is horrendous. What are you doing, mate? That is so messed up. Bruce, for losing just another playoff. Like, how do you get six strokes back off a guy in two holes and then lose the playoff? Like, does James Conrad throw the holy shot and then throw the next one out of bounds? No, like, you do the hard work and you get the win. Just win one, mate. Like, it's not that fucking hard. And Jono, just start looking at the scores. I cannot believe what I didn't understand what I was watching. And then once it unfolded and I heard the story behind it, it was even more heartbreaking. Look at the scores. It's crazy. Everyone should know. If you think you're in contention, you should know what his score is on hole 18, at the bare minimum. So, craziness. It's ridiculous that all three of you beat me. You're so shit. I'd never lose to any one of you ever again. It's my not.
Nah, I'd be surprised if you ever lose to them ever again.
Yeah, fuck that. Jeez. Cool. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.